Joe and Michelle McNally had to go and pick up their children in Connecticut. They were up in New Hampshire, so they picked up one of the outlines that I left after the service this morning for tonight that you have in your hands. And they called before the service start from the edge of New York, Connecticut, and said, "Pastor, we tried to figure out all the words. We want to know if we're right. Will you call us back?" And so I was talking to them, Michelle, while Joe was driving, and they wanted to get the words for tonight. This morning, we started half of what I'm going to talk about tonight. We are looking at the Ten Commandments of Speech. And so if you weren't here this morning, you missed the first half, the first five. But I have good news for you. You can go on the internet and you can catch the first five. Tonight we're going to deal with the second five. And what we're doing is I went to the Bible a number of years ago and started to dig about what the Bible says about how we ought to talk to each other as Christians and learn how those things, some commandments and principles on things that ought to guide our speech. So we looked at the first five this morning. We're going to take a look at the second five tonight. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And I forgot my glasses in my office and thought about it before that I would need them, and we kept doing things. So, hon, would you pretty please? You're so beautiful and helpful and such a servant. She's what? She's gagging on what I was just saying. I was trying to talk biblically. It is so kind of you to bring these back to me. Take you out for ice cream afterwards. A golfer was getting ready to golf, and he had gotten a, what do you call those guys that help them? Caddy. Now I know you're listening. Why are you laughing? That was funny? Okay. Got a caddy, and he knew the caddy was a talker, so he told the caddy, he said, "I just don't want you to say anything, just say yes or no." So he got up to golf and hit his ball, and he asked the caddy what size club he should use. He said, "What do you think?" to the caddy. "Five iron?" "No, Mr. Bolt," the caddy said. "What do you mean, not a five iron?" He snorted back. "Watch this shot." Caddy's eyes rolled. "No, Mr. Bolt." Mr. Bolt hit the ball. Ball landed within 5 feet of the cup. He said, "Now what do you think of that? You can speak now." And he said, "That wasn't your ball." Was that funny too? Yes? Okay. As I said this morning, we looked at the first five. I'll look at the second five tonight. Number six is this. Be real. Be real. If you're going to talk, to anyone, just be real. Be real. Proverbs 14:23. Let me explain. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Let me kind of give you a little bit further. Let's do it this way. Do it, don't say it. What I mean by being real, and what this verse is saying is, do it, don't say it. In other words, if you're going to talk to people, just be real. Do what you say you're going to do. In fact, you'd be better off just doing it without saying it. But so often, people make promises and then never fulfill them. You know, we do it to our children, we do it to our spouses, we do it to our friends, we do it to our coworkers. Just be real. Notice, 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You know, a lot of people talk a good game, but never get on the field. Some people are full of talk about how they're going to be successful and how they're going to do great things. You know, they're chasing the next million-dollar idea, but then they never do anything. It really bothers me when people talk about all the things they're going to do and then they just simply don't do it. We need to be real with people. Don't make promises you're not going to keep. Don't say things that you're not going to do. Be real. You know, you may not be lying, but in your heart, but if you tell people you're going to do things and you don't do them, people think you're lying. And it does sure look like a lie. If you're not faithful to your word, people are going to think you lied. Mere talk, it only leads to poverty. Hard work brings a profit. Be real. In fact, hold your finger here in Proverbs and turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. It's the very next book in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you in to sin. And do not protest at a temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. God would rather you not make a vow to him than to make a vow and not fulfill it. So many people, they come before God and God, you know, blesses life or answers a prayer and they say to God, you know, God, here's my life. And they don't fulfill it. The same thing is true when we talk to each other. We just need to be real. Be who you are. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't say things that you're not going to do. Just be real. Be real. Number 7. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful what you say. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. What it's saying simply is, you know, be slow in talking. Weigh your answers. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Don't get that, you know, foot disease that you take your shoe and you stick it in your mouth because you said something before you thought. Righteous people weigh their answers. A wise person thinks about what he's going to say before he says it. But you notice, the fool, what does the fool do? He doesn't even think, he just talks. The fool gushes out evil. He just, you know, he just wants to pour out everything that he knows. Be careful what you say. Alan Redpath, in his book, A Passion for Preaching, said that he once formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress. And the members subscribed to a very simple formula called THINK. It's an acrostic, THINK. And they would ask these questions before they would say anything. I don't know, Jimmy, do I have this up there? It's THINK, the acrostic THINK. Maybe I didn't even put it up there. It's under this one? All right, let me give it to you. Write down the word THINK, T-H-I-N-K, and then to the right there are questions. It's on the outlines? All right, it's in the outlines. All right, T, is it true? Is it true? And if you don't know it's true, don't say it. Number 2, is it helpful? You know, there's some things maybe that you could say, but you got to really ask, is this thing helpful? Do I really need to say it? Letter I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? Letter N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? You may have something to say, but is it really necessary you say it? And letter K, is it kind? Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? He said, if what I'm about to say does not pass those tests, I will keep my mouth shut. He said, and you know what? It worked. He found that he was sticking his foot in his mouth far less than before. We can save ourselves so much trouble if we thought twice before we said something once. There is a rule in carpentry. It says, measure twice, cut once. We ought to have a rule of our mouth. Think twice, say it once. You know, before you get ready to say something, really think through, should I say this? Does it pass the test? Proverbs 21 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue will keep himself from calamity. Proverbs 12, reckless words pierce like a sword. Matthew chapter 12, men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word. That's so scary. Every single thing you say, God has written down. And every single thing you said without thinking about, the Bible says, will be judged. Every careless word, everything that comes out of his mouth, the Bible says we're going to be judged. Be careful. Be careful what you say. Number 8. Be a good listener. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Be a good listener. And if you heard me give these 10 before, I've kind of changed the way I worded this one. Before I said be slow to speak, but it's really saying be a good listener. James chapter 1 verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we thought twice about everything we said before we said it, we would get ourselves in so much less trouble. We need to learn some good listening practices and habits. Think about some of the things that people say that gets them in trouble, and if they really thought about it, they probably wouldn't have said it. Phrases like this, it's no trouble at all. Or, we have plenty of room. Or, call me anytime. My husband is a doctor, lawyer, accountant. He'll help you. I'll try anything once. It was so fun watching my mother, trying to get my mother to eat some of the things that the hospital was making. So some of those things she said, I said to her, Mom, you got to eat this. She said, you eat it. You try it. No, thanks. If worse comes to worse, you can use mine. Don't worry. There's more where that came from. Or over my dead body, you will. That's from a book called Power Mom, Thinking Before We Say. The word slow in this verse, let me give you, as I love to do, the deep theological meaning of the word slow here. You may want to write this down so you can remember it. It means slow. It means slow. Notice, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. In other words, when you're in a conversation, be quick, be ready to hear what the other person is saying, and on your side, you need to be slow to talk. Why slow to speak? So we can be careful what we say. Why good listeners? So we can be careful what we say. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Now, Proverbs says an awful lot about the fool. And I mean, if you read the book of Proverbs and you looked at all the things it said about a fool, when you were done, you would say, man, I don't want to be one of them. I mean, if I were to be anything, I don't want to be listed as a fool. So notice, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Be a good listener. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Someone has said, "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." I love that. "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." Let me give you a quick little habit or a way to listen and talk. Someone says something to you, do this. Respond this way. "Is this what you said and is this what you meant?" Someone says something to you and you're not sure you got it, maybe even think you're sure you got it. Respond with, "Is this what you said and is this what you meant by what you said?" And you may find that you didn't hear what they said right and you did not really understand what they meant. Or you may find that what they said is really not what they meant. Doesn't that happen a lot, that we all say things that we thought we were getting it out right and it just didn't come out right? Be an active listener and let the person know that you are listening to them. Do you know that 93% of all communication is nonverbal? 93%, according to the last book I read on the subject, 93% of all we communicate is nonverbal. So when we think about our communication, really only 7% is what I'm saying. 93% is actually what I'm doing. Like if I'm up here speaking and someone's kind of leaning back like this and going, they are communicating to me, either they're really tired because they worked all night, or I'm boring them to death. We need to let people know that we're listening. You know, eye contact, shake of the head, yeah, yeah, I understand what you're saying, or no, no, you're wrong. It includes responding and listening to what someone has said and making sure that we give them an opportunity to get out all that they want to say. I know some people that they cut into the conversation halfway through because they think they know what you're about to say. And sometimes I have to stop and say, wait a minute, I wasn't going to say that. Being a good listener means that I give you the opportunity to finish what you're going to say and think through what you have said before I say anything. Or else our conversation is headed in the wrong direction. The well-known Broadway producer Jed Harris once became convinced that he was losing his hearing. So he visited a specialist who pulled out a gold watch and asked, "Can you hear the ticking?" "Of course," Harris replied. Specialist walked to the door and asked the question again, "Can you hear the ticking?" He said, "Yes, I can hear it clearly." The doctor then walked into the next room and repeated the question a third time, "Can you hear this?" And a third time he said, "Yes, I can hear it." Doctor said, "Mr. Harris, there's nothing wrong with your hearing. The problem is you simply don't listen." And I think that's so true with so many in conversations. The reality is that our conversation is not a conversation. It is really someone talking and continuing with another person being a witness to what is being said. Have you ever been around people and you're telling them what's going on in your life and that you know that, you know, they're not hearing you? because they want to tell you about what's going on in their life. So they're not hearing a word you're saying. They're just kind of carrying on their own conversation. James says, look, be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Have you ever noticed that we got two ears and one mouth? Maybe God did that for a reason. He wanted us to do a lot more hearing than talking. Number 9. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Be not a talker. Be not a talker. Or as Michelle said to me as they were driving to Connecticut just a little while ago, they put down, be not a blabbermouth. I like that even better. Be not a blabbermouth. Be not a talker. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Do you know that someone has said that we spend about a fifth of our life talking? Statistics say that the average person could fill a 50-page book every single day, on average. In a year, the average person would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. It's a lot of talking. A lot of talk can lead to a lot of sin. Constant talk will eventually lead to sin. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of a fool blurts out folly. You know what I love? I love the person who knows a lot about a subject and don't tell you. I love the person who knows a lot about a subject, but they don't tell you. Unless they're asked. Because if you look through Proverbs, you find out that a fool wants to just blurt out everything he knows. But a wise person holds their tongue. You ever sit in a circle with a group, and there's that one or two people that they take up the entire conversation? I mean, everybody else is quiet, but those one or two people, all they're doing is blabbering. They're just talking and talking and talking, and well, it's kind of just sit and listen to them. The wise person holds his tongue. So this verse is saying, prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of a fool blurts out folly. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. You know, you get that guy or the lady sitting in the corner and they're not saying anything. They could be the biggest idiot in the world, but you'll never know it if they don't open their mouth. I love this. It would be better to leave people wondering why you didn't talk than why you did. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Dr. Joe Brown of Rochester, Minnesota, tells of trying to get a physical history on a patient. The man's wife answered every question the doctor asked. Finally, Dr. Brown requested that she leave the room. But after she left, he found out that the husband couldn't speak. So he called the wife back in and he apologized. He didn't realize that the man had a loss of speech and couldn't speak a word. The wife was astonished. She didn't even know it. Yeah, I think there is great wisdom in not talking. Now let me be careful, because I know ladies who are here, at least some of you, would wish that your husbands talked more. And there's probably husbands here that wish their wife talked less. We won't go there. There is great wisdom in not talking. Yeah, I've learned in my own life, the more I talk, it seems the more I mess up. You know, just being real honest, it just seems like if I'm in a group and I'm just sitting around talking, it seems the more I say something, the more I just say something stupid. And then I sit there and then I'm really quiet and I say, why did I say that? Be not a talker. Number 10. Be not a gossip. Be not a gossip. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I spent quite a bit of time this week, very, very busy week, but I spent some time looking at this. I want to re-dig into what really a gossip is, and so I did some time really searching out this word. Notice verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 12. Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling and jealousy, outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder. Can you imagine that? Paul is speaking to this church, the church of Corinth, and he's saying to this church, look, when I come, I'm afraid I might find some things there I don't like. I'm afraid that when I come to your church, there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I wonder what Paul would do if he came to half the churches in America today. Because I think these things would describe many, many churches in America today. Be not a gossip. Four preachers met for a friendly gathering. During their conversation, one preacher said, our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confess their sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul. In due time, all agreed. One confessed he liked going to movies and would sneak off away from the church and go to movies. Second confessed he liked smoking cigars. Third confessed he liked playing cards. When it came to the fourth, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, saying, come now, we confess ours. What is your secret or vice? Finally, he answered, it is gossiping, and I hardly can't wait to get out of here. You know what gossip is? Let me give you a very simple definition of gossip. I really did a lot of search to really try to understand what gossip is. The word literally means to speak in low tones. But the simplest definition I could come away with of gossip is this. Gossip is secret slander. It is secret slander. It is running from person to person to person and speaking in low tones. And as you go from person to person to person, you are talking about the other person and you are slandering them. You are tearing them apart. The exact opposite of what I talked about this morning. It's one who goes about slandering or others behind their back. They are a backbiter. It is not simply talking about someone who's not present. Connie and Eileen and me can be in a conversation and we're just, you know, we're carrying on a conversation and we might talk about Janet. And in our conversation about Janet, we're talking about her. She's not there. That does not mean that we are gossiping about Janet. Just means we are talking and she's not present. Now, the three of us could be in conversation and, man, we're really talking about Zena. She's just a rotten lady, just a terrible person. and we just can't stand her. But she's not present. What we are doing is we are gossiping, probably making up stories that aren't true, or embellishing true stories, but embellishing them so that they just sound terrible. Gossip is secret slander. It is running around talking about someone that you're mad about, you don't like, or for whatever reason, you just want to tear them down. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Proverbs 26:20-21, without wood a fire goes out, without gossip a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Winston Churchill exemplified integrity and respect in the face of opposition. During his last year in office, he attended a ceremony. And several rows behind him, two gentlemen began whispering. Remember, gossip is speaking in low tones. That's Winston Churchill. They said he's getting senile. They said how he should step aside and leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men. When the ceremony was all over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say he's deaf. I want you to know he's not." You know, there's something about gossip that is real simple to do in dealing with it. Don't listen. The way to stop a gossip is don't listen. Someone comes to you and they want to tear somebody else apart, don't listen. Respond with, "Have you prayed? Have you prayed for that person? Have you talked to that person?" You know, if you haven't prayed for that person and you haven't gone directly to that person and talked to them, then don't tell me. Be real. Be careful. Be a good listener. Be not a blabbermouth or a talker. Be not a gossip. Let me give the first five real quick. Be honest. Be loving. Be edifying. Be gracious. And be clean. You know, if we can make these things part of our conversation, I think we would finally learn as Christians how to talk to each other. I think we'd finally learn as husband and wives how to carry out conversations. I think we would learn, parents, how to talk to your children, and children how to talk to your classmates. I mean, just go on and on and on. Be honest, be loving, edifying, gracious, clean, real, careful, good listener, not a talker, not a gossip. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, into your hands we commit our lips, our speech, our talk. Help us, Father, to learn not to be in one-way conversations. Help us, Lord, to truly care about people and want to know what's going on in their lives and not rush so much to blurt out everything in our own life. Help us not to be like the fool, but may we be wise in our conversation. And I pray, Lord, as you told us in everything we ought to bring you glory, I pray that our speech would do that. So you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name.